Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
All right. Well, one of the big topics that always comes up on BDA Baby and also just in life for me, especially in this era of my life, is the subject of hormones. Everyone wants to know more about hormones. We want to know how life impacts hormones, the hormones before you decide to have kids, while you're pregnant, and also postpartum hormones. So today, I'm really thrilled to be able to tackle the subject of hormones with Dr. Taz, who wrote such an incredible book called The Hormone Shift. We're going to talk about her book. We're also going to talk about all the different phases of hormones. We're going to talk about the superstar era, which apparently is when you're 29 to 38 years old. So I guess I might be in that time. So I'm really excited to talk to her about that. And just all about the different environmental and life moments that impact our hormones, because they're such complicated subjects that go into how we feel, how we act, and pregnancy, postpartum, all of it. So we're going to jump right in with Dr. Taz. I'm so excited to be able to talk to you today because hormones, the subject of hormones is something that as a woman, you hear about from elementary school when you talk about your period, and right, then we never stop hearing about. And especially for me and for my friend group in this time where we're having kids, we're postpartum, people are trying to get pregnant. The hormone subject is like at the forefront of every single girls' night that we talk about. So being able to get some expert guidance in these areas is so helpful and also exciting for me. So thank you so much for joining me and for taking time.
Of course. I'm excited to talk about this. Trust me.
So excited to talk about hormones.
Yeah.
It is such a fascinating subject because I think, you know, growing up, I thought hormones were very straightforward.
Right.
And as I've gotten older and also, you know, learned so much about fertility, pregnancy, postpartum, also menopause, perimenopause, hormones are so complicated.
Yeah.
And they're so intense. So the fact that you decided to focus on this area is wild. It can be so intimidating.
Well, a lot of it was just my own story, honestly. It's not, right, it was a very natural segue because I entered this whole line of medicine and everything because of my hormones. I mean, otherwise I was on track to, you know, do emergency medicine and ICU medicine and all that other stuff. So, you know, so I feel like it's a very easy, comfortable place for me, you know, to be. And then I think more importantly, like my journey was over 20 years ago. And unfortunately, other than a lot more chatter about it, I don't think a lot has changed in terms of delivery of options and tools and all that other stuff. So that's what's really frustrating and kind of motivates me more because now I have a 16-year-old daughter. Like, I don't want her to have the same journey that I did, you know, or that so many young women have. So so happy to talk about it for sure.
Let's talk about your journey because I feel like everybody has something or a moment in their life as women where you all of a sudden say, I'm going to look more into hormones, and it's not so black and white as maybe you thought it was when you were introduced to your period.
Definitely. I mean, I think, you know, the whole topic around period was sort of hush-hush and it wasn't like this big thing in our family at least. So we didn't really talk about hormones. And you know, as I went through college and then med school and then residency, and then my first job was actually an emergency medicine job, hormones and your overall health and well-being were very secondary. It was more about just trying to get things done and accomplish different goals. But what was happening in hindsight is this kind of like slow leak when it comes to having hormone issues and hormones hormone imbalances, and the signs were all there. I just didn't know about it. You know, everything from the acne and the cystic acne that, you know, I would pay so much money to like get rid of and do all these different treatments, to then having, you know, more fatigue. And then by the time I hit residency, which was like 28-ish or after residency, like 28 or so, that's where it kind of crescendoed. And I've seen that in my patients too. There's something about that age, like 26, 27, 28, where I think things finally come to a head if you've been ignoring and neglecting your health for a period of time. But that's where it was weight gain, like sudden weight gain, hair loss. Like I was pretty much open and, you know, balding through here, and it caught me by surprise, you know, joint pain and joint swelling, you know, just not feeling good. I'm a super high energy person. I'm a happy person. And all of a sudden it's like, you know, I can't get out of bed. I can't make it through a shift. I'm really dark. I'm really negative. And so it's the people around me who were like, something's wrong. You know, my mom and my now husband, something's wrong. You need to go check this out, go figure this out. And it sent me down a journey of trying to get answers, which was honestly very hopeless. It was a lot of, you're stressed, you know, you're anxious, you're depressed, you're whatever, you don't sleep. You know, that's the reason all these different things are happening. And lots of different medication recommendations along the way. And long story short, and I write about this in my book, you know, The Hormone Shift, you know, the end visit or kind of the final visit of that journey was where I was handed a medication, you know, that it does help, you know, prevent hair loss. I even prescribe it to this day. But again, because we don't have this real holistic approach to medicine in the exam room, like no one looked at my overall health. No one looked at the fact that my blood pressure already, you know, always runs super, super low. And so there was a day that I left the house, took the medicine, went and worked out, got back in my car. My blood pressure just bottomed out. I had a really bad vasovagal kind of syncopal episode and passed out while driving and ended up getting into a crash. And it was sort of like, unfortunately, it takes something like that to be, you know, like, wait a minute, what am I doing? And why is this not working? And so at that point, I think it was just like, okay, I've spent 10 doctor's visits, 9 months trying to figure this out. I haven't really gotten anywhere. And so I just started researching. We didn't have like Google to its glory that we have it right now, right? So it was a lot of just trying to figure this out on my own. So found the world of holistic medicine, that which then led me to Chinese medicine, which then led me down the road of nutrition, which then led me to the Integrative Medicine Fellowship with Dr. Andy Weil out in Arizona. So I finished that. And through that journey, you know, what was going on with me was that, you know, I have PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome. Mm-hmm. I have the androgen dominant form of it, which is where it presents with hair loss and acne and then becomes inflammatory at a certain point. Gluten and stress and not sleeping were big triggers of the expression of all of that. So me being able to kind of unwind that and piece that together and then go on some thyroid hormone to support my thyroid, go on something to help the androgens, balance out blood sugar and insulin, I was able to heal myself. And that made me want to take care of others while others were sort of coming to me being like, well, wait, what'd you do? You know, what was different? So that got me into the hormone world. And, you know, I have a background in pediatrics as well. So when I first opened my clinics, it was like, a mom can only be as healthy as her child and vice versa. And that's a very Chinese medicine concept. So I initially opened back in 2009, you know, really thinking through that, like, you know, how do we make women healthy? How do we make kids healthy? That makes the family healthy. But I had no idea that this was such an issue. And then, you know, the demand and people wanting us to see their dads or their brothers or whoever else, their husbands, now we're just a full service family practice with this integrative holistic model. And we continue to grow, which is super exciting. But the issue of hormones and hormone imbalances and how they present at every single age, I think is something that we need to talk about. I think it's encouraging and exciting that we're seeing so much menopause conversation right now, right? There's a lot of like chatter about that, but we're still not dialing into what I think I'm really passionate about, which is this continuum, where the hormone journey really begins when we're children, going into puberty and adolescence, then into our 20s, 30s, 40s, then of course into, you know, perimenopause and menopause for sure.
Are you noticing that most women start paying attention to their hormones at that 28 to 30 timeframe because all of a sudden they want to have kids?
Very much. I think they're three main motivations for women to pay attention to their hormones. I think either if they have a symptom, right, they have incredibly painful periods, or like me, they have really bad hair loss or acne or things like that, or they're trying to get pregnant. I think that's one of the biggest ones. Or they're in perimenopause or menopause, and they're just seeing a complete disruption of everything going on with them. So those are like the three hallmarks of where I see women dial into this conversation. I would almost say we need to flip it and think of hormones as a vital sign. And we kind of need to know, you know, just like we know our weight and just like we might know our body fat and all these other things that we track, we really need to know, you know, what normal means for us because we're all so individual. So like what's your normal versus my normal so that when we shift, which is a guarantee, I had a patient ask me the other day, like, do I have to go through menopause? So shifting hormones, whether you're going from being pregnant to being postpartum or going into perimenopause, we're guaranteed to shift. That's going to happen. But the more you understand what's normal for you and how to care for yourself, then you're able to manage those shifts beautifully. And most importantly, I think you're able to communicate, you know, to a provider or to somebody else that, that something's off or something's wrong. So you don't get the standard, like it's in your head or this is normal or some of those lines that any of us heard in the past.
When you're talking about, I mean, you mentioned you have a daughter and we talk about that, you know, we want to focus on adults as well as children. For people who have kids, and it doesn't have to be just parents of daughters, I have two daughters, so this is, you know, extra interesting to me.
Yeah.
But at what age do you even start learning about hormones for your own kids? Because obviously for me to get a blood test and look at my hormones is totally different than if I look at my 3.5-year-old and my 2-year-old.
Definitely. I mean, I think if you're dealing with the younger kids, like toddlers and even elementary school age children, we don't need to do a lot of blood testing on them unless you're seeing symptoms. And so one of the issues that we're having right now globally is that children are entering into puberty earlier and earlier. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if you are seeing those early signs, which we're seeing at like 6 and 7 and stuff like that, if you're seeing those early signs, then I do think it's justified to get some hormone testing. It doesn't always have to be blood. There's so many different ways to test your hormones right now if you are worried about that for your child. But definitely if you're seeing some of those early signs, for sure, like early pubic hair is one, right, where you're starting to see that in a 5-year-old or 6-year-old or 7-year-old, that's not normal. Or you're seeing breast buds very early. That's another sign, you know, excessive body odor. Those are things to look for as well. So I think we have had some patients come through, and what's happening there, again, I'm generalizing because everybody has their own story, but what's happening there is, for different reasons, which we can dive into, children are storing or holding on to estrogen or estrogen derivatives. And then that's driving sort of this, you know, puberty axis to move forward earlier than it was in the past. So that's one pattern we're seeing. We're also seeing overproduction of androgens, which are like the DHTs and things like that, that typically would give you acne, but in young children give you a lot of body odor and those type of things. So we'll check all of that if we're suspicious, right? But that's not mandatory checking. I think in your age children, it's more about a healthy gut because the gut is the precursor to healthy hormones. So making sure, you know, they have a diverse and varied diet, that they have good microbial representation in their gut, they're digesting well, they're going to the bathroom well every day. I think those are some of the key kind of foundational issues for that age group. But then once you move into actually having your period, or in your boys moving into puberty. So by now, if we're going to talk about most kids, that's going to be like 13, 14, 15. Mm-hmm. That is a time where I actually think it's worth understanding what your hormones are doing and doing a yearly hormone check and just seeing where testosterone, estrogen, estrone, which is a storage form of estrogen, where that is, looking at even thyroid and just getting a sense of what's going on, because then you can track them as they go through the next 4 or 5 years. Because what we're seeing is our girls are, you know, it's an epidemic. I feel like PCOS is an epidemic and endometriosis as well. I'm meeting so many young girls who have it. And in the teenage years, they don't always present like we did, like I did, I should say, in my 20s. They present more with all these vague diagnoses and vague symptoms. It's things like POTS, where they have this varying blood pressure and they're passing out and having all this issue, or they're presenting even with mood disorders. Because remember, when the androgens, which are a hormone, get too high, it destabilizes your mood. So there's a lot more anger, there's a lot more bipolar, OCD, all associated with that particular hormone pattern. So I feel like as they move into that 14, 15, 16 age range, especially before they go to college, you know, I think it's important for them to have a good understanding of what their hormones are doing. Typically what happens to them is they get the birth control pill that kind of masks everything all the way through college, maybe even through their 20s because they need birth control. And then they hit 28 and it's like, Wait, what's happening? Why can't I get pregnant? Or why is this, you know, then all of a sudden it's like this big awakening. I feel like that's a little bit late in the game.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them. And guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
I mean, it seems that everybody, at least for me and for a lot of my friends in high school, you get your period, you go to an OB for the first time, you go oftentimes on birth control when you're in high school. And as you said, you stay on it when you're in college. And then I have had so many friends who went off birth control right after they got married. We're like, oh, this is the time, I'm going to get pregnant so easily and so quickly. And then you're presented with a variety of different issues because for so long, your body has not been able to have a normal cycle, or you're not able to see, oh, I have PCOS or I have endometriosis. And it seems like, I mean, we talk about PCOS and endometriosis very frequently on BDA Baby because so many people are diagnosed with it. So many people are being advocates for not being gaslit when you go to the doctor and being told you should get more sleep, you should be less stressed out.
Yep.
For people who are, you know, either parents or wanting to do something different than how they were raised or given or given a birth control, what would be your recommendation for people who have kids?
Right. No, I would say, okay, so if you're a parent and you're trying to figure out how to set your child up for success, there are a couple of things I would, first of all, teach your child, but also work with your child to get the information. So I would do a baseline hormone panel and understand where the key hormones are. There's 7 major hormones in the body, and I talk about them in the hormone shift. And I would know what those are at a couple of points throughout your teenage years. So whether that's from like 13, 14 to about 18, 19, when you leave the home. And if you're going to make that decision about birth control, because we don't want to be naive, we know people need birth control in some form, right? Actually, nowadays, most of us are advocating for the IUD over the birth control pill just because we feel like, first of all, compliance is a little bit better. But secondly, you're not getting the hormone load necessarily with the IUD that you get with the birth control pill. But let's say you know you're going to need birth control of some form or fashion. Well, get that testing done before you go on it because you'll have an understanding of what your natural hormone rhythms are. And it's easier to identify patterns then. And that way, like someone like me or my colleagues can identify, like you're having an issue with androgens. You have a problem storing estrogen. There are genetics and other factors and even the environment involved in all of that. You have a thyroid issue. Like all of these can be uncovered that early and then supported so that as you go on the birth control pill, you still have a plan to be on birth control, but you have all the support around it. You know what to do for your gut. You know how to clean out your liver. You know the key nutrients that you might be missing. And then the other hormones that act in concert with something like estrogen and progesterone can be taken care of as well, rather than going through like these stressful moments of our lives and our 20s and, you know, mid 20s as we're trying to establish careers and families and stuff like that. And then finding out so late And the journey for many of those women, as I'm sure you already know, is like they can't figure it out. Then they end up going down the IVF route, mm-hmm. and it's money and it's a toll on their health, right? People don't talk about the toll of IVF on your overall health, which shows up later. That shows up for me in like the perimenopause and menopause community. So again, this continuum is really important. So as a parent, I think gut health, having a plan before you go on birth control, understanding what it is, then picking the right birth control, right? That's important too. If you've got very low hormone tolerance, and we know that, you know, just looking at a family history or even looking at details like genetics and things like that, then you want to go on the lowest dose of whatever's out there that's possible, or you may want to choose a barrier device over a pill. So these are all some of the more thoughtful decisions, I think, that need to go into being on the birth control pill. And then I think there needs to be a plan for coming off the birth control pill too. You know, I think we put people on it too quickly and we take them off of it just as quickly and we assume everything's going to be okay. And oftentimes that's not simply the way it works out.
It's wild to me how people's bodies react so dramatically and also so differently to a variety of different birth controls. I mean, when I was in high school, everybody was on the same birth control. And then it started that people were introduced to new forms of birth control. And now, especially for some of my friends who don't want to have more kids, they're going on either it's an IUD or some mm-hmm. form of, you know, a birth control pill. But the conversation around hormones is definitely, I feel like, much more prevalent today than it has been in the past, which is an amazing thing, as you're saying, and also right. frustrating because it's not delivered to people in the way that's beneficial to them at different phases. So
right.
you talk in your book, The Hormone Shift, about the five shifts that happen to women throughout their life. We talked a little bit about, you know, for the young
teenagers.
Group, the teenagers, yeah. that fun time.
Yep.
Is the next shift is that in your 20s that you're mm-hmm. talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about that because I feel like that's something I have so many girl cousins that are in their 20s and they're mm-hmm. all, you know, they see egg freezing as being something that they're all being told about and stressed out about. And it's your time is coming. So I want to talk about the 20s part of it and then we can move on
from there.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's interesting that you bring that up. I am the egg freezing, the 20-year-old egg freezing and the 20-year-old Botox is like something that like baffles
Wild,
my mind to
right?
this day. I know.
Makes
I'm like,
you feel
what?
So old.
What are we doing?
You know?
So anyhow, but I don't really think 20-year-olds need to run around and freeze their eggs. They do need to understand their hormones. I do think they need to do that. And the biggest issue for those in their 20s, I think I call them superstars was kind of the name I use, or no, hustlers. They were the hustlers because they were hustling, right? They were, we were all there burning the candle at both ends, you know, partying hard and working hard and doing all things really hard. The biggest issue for them is that this is where you first start to see high cortisol. So cortisol levels start to go up, which then in turn impact blood sugar. And kind of the second hormone shift for them is that progesterone levels are starting to fall. So in that picture of sort of these higher cortisol levels and slightly lower progesterone levels, if they now go and freeze their eggs, that's going to be a difficult journey for them as well, when really what needs to happen is they need more of a cortisol balancing plan and they may need a little bit of progesterone support. And if they do that, then by the time they hit the next shift, which is that superstar shift of sort of like your mid-20s to right around your early 30s, then they'll go into fertility in a much better shape. But usually what happens is it's ignored and you sail from that phase into the next phase and you've had cortisol flowing for an extended period of time. That in turn has completely disrupted your blood sugar and your insulin. Now your progesterone has crashed. It's no longer low. It's just crashed. Your thyroid is usually crashed as well. And if you've got the genetics for something like a PCOS or endometriosis, then you're seeing more stored estrogen and higher androgens as well. And all of that blocks fertility. So that's why women can't get pregnant. They will try and try and try. They'll go to the doctor. And oftentimes the tests that are done more routinely are very basic. They're not digging into, you you know, do you have high insulin? Do you have thyroid disorders? Do you have, you know, like looking at all these different hormones and how they, you know, interact together. And then that's when they get into like the IUI and IVF and kind of going down that road to have a baby, which can be really frustrating. So I think that 20, like, you know, 19, 20 to about 31, 32, really important for having a healthy hormone foundation, not just for fertility, but even for like mental health, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like anxiety and depression and OCD and ADHD and all these things that are very tied to hormones and what hormones are doing. So the other thing we'll see is like an escalation of mental health stuff as we move through this decade, because you'll see untreated hormone imbalances presenting as severe anxiety, you know, like, why am I having a panic attack? Why am I having heart palpitations? Or as depression, then in some, not as common, of course, but in some, you'll start to see bipolar and OCD and some of those very core mental health issues. So many 20-year-olds I know are on ADHD medications, right? Not that they're good or bad, but it seems like birth control, ADHD medication is kind of just like a cocktail that everybody is on. And again, a lot of this brain fog and focus issue, remember, there are hormone receptors in the brain. So when we're just shutting down our hormones with something like the birth control pill, you are going to have a brain or a cognitive component to that as well. So, you know, so that's, I think it's important for somebody in their 20s to understand like what their hormone pattern is. Where do they fall in the landscape of cortisol and progesterone? Because those two hormones in particular will then determine what happens next. I feel like they almost write the chapters of what happens next with, you know, all the other different hormone patterns that we talk about and that impact fertility and just overall well-being for sure. The other thing too, as generations of women seem to be more stressed than young women in their 20s, as cortisol goes up, insulin goes up, right? So that's where you start to see a lot more of the belly fat at younger and younger ages than what we used to see before. Because again, the stress hormones, all of that are out of control. And then those women are yo-yoing with different eating disorders, right? It's like, it's so frustrating because like you can see what's happening, but again, being able to peel the layers when someone's too far down the road, it's kind of hard to like pull them back over here, right? But you know, with a lot of these hormone imbalances and weight gain, then again, it's that reactive mentality. Like, I've got to go fast, or I'm going to go do a detox, or, you know, I'm going to go on Ozempic or whatever else. And that sort of constant reactivity keeps women, I think, in a state of hormone illiteracy where they never really have an opportunity to dig in and understand what their particular hormone story is.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.
When you mentioned getting a basic blood test or panel that doesn't really dig deep, for people who listen to this who want to be advocates for themselves when they go into a doctor's office and ask for the test that's going to give them really great and thorough information about where they are in their hormonal journey. What is that called and what do you ask for?
So I have a list of all of this in the book. I've like literally written out every hormone and the ranges that I think are optimal in the book. But you can go in and through LabCorp, through Quest, through saliva hormone testing, urine hormone testing, there's so many different options. If you're going to work with your provider, they're usually going to do a LabCorp or Quest order, and you're asking for and I can rattle it off, but you're asking for estradiol, estrone, testosterone, free testosterone, the full thyroid panel, including the thyroid antibodies. Many people will leave those off. And we're seeing, again, an escalation of that as well. Something called a C-peptide and a DHEAS. If you can at least get those, that's what, 6 or 7 different markers I think I rattled off right now, most of which is covered by insurance. You know, this is not even, you know, I see a lot of like, well, I don't want to have to go pay, you know, X. You don't have to anymore. You can even take that basic information and start your conversation around hormones. If you want to go deeper, yes, there are saliva panels where you spit into a tube and you measure it over, you know, 3 and 4 different points of time. There's the Dutch test that a lot of people are doing right now. When those tests are great because they take your flat hormone levels and they show, they kind of give you a picture of how the body metabolizes it, right? So if you start here with estrogen, what is your body doing with it? How does it break it down so you have a better understanding of it? So they're great. There are tons of information. Do you have to do them? No. You can start with just those basic 6 or 7 and keep retesting those yearly to understand where you are and what's going on with your health. And then really looping in to a hormone literate doctor who can help you with like, okay, here's what you need to do. And here's what you need to do is not always hormone replacement therapy. I think we need to establish that as well. So many people think, well, I don't want to go on hormones. Why would I check my hormones? You're checking them to identify your dominant hormone pattern. Because once you identify that dominant hormone pattern, there is a way to eat. There's a way to exercise. You know, there's certain nutrients and herbs that you can take that help that hormone pattern and can help to rebalance it back out. So that's why you're checking. You're not checking because you're trying to make the decision of, do I go on estrogen or testosterone or any of these things? You're checking so that you can have a plan of action to help rebalance your hormones naturally.
It's also so interesting that, especially in this space and also this time in my life that I'm in, where so many of my friends are having babies or trying to have babies and postpartum, that, you know, so often when women all of a sudden can't get pregnant as easily as they thought that they did, the blood test is done, a routine blood test. And then oftentimes people jump to, I'm going to see an IVF doctor, I'm going to see a fertility doctor. And I think what you're saying is that there are things that you can do before that visit happens, which, you know, as we mentioned, financially straining, emotionally straining, physically, spiritually, mentally.
All of it.
I was just having a conversation before you and I went on about the fact that people think IVF, because, you know, it's something people talk about now so openly, people think IVF is an easy routine thing for the most part for people who it works for. And it's actually very stressful, very complicated. And the fact that you offer holistic and also alternative options for people before jumping the gun and going there is so exciting.
Well, I mean, I don't think IVF is not good for us. Can we just establish that? It's not good for the female body. It's amazing to have the children, right? Mm-hmm. Not taking that gift away from anybody. But if you're just going to think about what it does to the female body, it is a toll. And one of the things I love so much about Chinese medicine is it talks a lot and teaches a lot about, you know, the sacredness of the female body and the importance of replenishing and re-nurturing and this idea of qi, to the point that, like, if you had one child, so many women today have children, like, back, we all do it because I did it because we got married late or had children late. But, you know, this whole idea of even having children back to back to back to back to back was seen as depleting, right? And it would strip women of nutrients and strip them of like their vital force. They talked a lot about vital force. And so when we take those ideas and we apply it to conventional modern medicine or Western medicine today, you know, we don't have to adopt all of it, but if we can at least adopt and take from it that to produce healthy babies and have healthy families where we as women are the center of it, whether we like it or not, you can debate me all day long, but we are always the center of a family and we're always kind of pulling the strings of not just our immediate family, but usually a circle around us, right? I'm sure you can tell me like 10 family members that you're in touch with and probably partly responsible for. So if we're not feeling good and if we're not well taken care of, then that entire unit is at jeopardy or is at stake. So for this sort of, and I have so many patients that come to my mind as I'm thinking about this, who've been on this journey. And it's just like, I remember one lady, she was a woman, she's still a patient. She came in and she's like, I need to be pregnant by this date, you know, because we're moving by this date and blah, blah, blah is happening next. I'm like, well, that's a lot of pressure on you and your body to get all that done. She's like, well, if it doesn't happen, I'm just going to go get IVF. And it seems like this very like offhand, I'm just going to go do this. And we need to stop for a second and slow down and think about it and understand our bodies are not just like baby making factories that we can just spit it out and put like some chemicals in it and everything happens. There's a cost to that. And so I think before you go down that journey, understanding, I have watched AMH, everyone gets all hung up on the AMH, right? Well, my AMH is bad. I'm never going to have a baby, blah, 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 blah. I have watched those numbers change in practice. I have seen them flip, right? Someone comes in with super low AMHs or super high AMHs, not in the ideal range. They go on a plan of really rehabbing their gut and their liver and optimizing their nutrients and bringing that cortisol down. And sure enough, you see the AMH flip, but we're going to hang all our energy on this AMH and then go and get all this technology done to us, you know, and go down that really painful journey, you know? So I think, I'm not saying IVF is wrong or bad. I'm just saying it is a decision that should be a little bit more thoughtful than what I think people are putting energy into it right now. And I think the way they're approaching it is the way we approach all things as women, like, okay, I'm just going to go fix this and do this, but not stepping back and being like, what is right for this body? What do I need to do? How do I bring it into balance? Because the decisions you make today about bringing it into balance are actually going to play out into your postpartum period. They're going to play out into the energy or the chi you have to raise those children, how you present in your relationship, all of those different things. And I think, you know, I couldn't stress more strongly that there is another way. You do have to take the time and energy to dig into it, but there is definitely another way to approach this. And at the end of that journey, and this is what I tell patients all the time, if after doing this work, you still don't get pregnant, here's what I can guarantee you. Even when you go to do IVF, it'll be one round. It'll be one attempt. It's not going to be 20 attempts and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars because your body is in a balanced state to actually get pregnant and to hold a pregnancy. So I think, you know, I think we underestimate how important being healthy is as young women. I know I did as a doctor even. So I can't, you know, I know so many young women do that. And then how powerful our health and our well-being is when it comes to the impact it has on everybody around us. And I think that's almost like we are holding a power source and it's kind of up to us to treat it correctly and use it for good, right? Rather than to burn through it and then kind of pay the price down the road.
It's so fascinating to me, these conversations around learning so many different ways to not only optimize yourself as a human being, but especially for women. I mean, you know, we do put pressure on ourselves to have kids by a certain time, to have a plan for what that's going to look like. And looking at all of these different options of how I'm going to get that done. This is a project. This is an assignment. I mean,
right.
And looking at your body as a temple. I mean, I was just sent something by one of my girlfriends on Instagram that talked about the woman's body during pregnancy and postpartum and what goes on in the woman's brain and really cutting slack to new moms and moms that are in a certain time frame, because what goes on in our brains and our hormones is so much more than we talk about and really give us credit for experiencing. So the superstar era is 29 to 38, you're saying, right?
So yes, 29 to 38 is that superstar era coming off the hustlers before you go into the later years.
So the superstar era is when most women are looking at fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum. That is the craziest hormone experience.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, wild. I had such, you know, I have two daughters and I had such different hormone journeys postpartum with both of them. And it was so interesting to me because when I was pregnant with my first daughter, nobody talked to me about the hormone drop when you come home from the hospital and you're breastfeeding and you're like, nobody, everybody was like, okay, this is, you're going to be tired from getting up with your baby all the time and breastfeeding. But the hormone drop was wild. And then for my second pregnancy, learning so much more about how other cultures treat the postpartum phase, eating for postpartum. I did that, my second postpartum, and the dramatic change that I experienced with my hormones regulating after I had my second daughter was night and day compared to my first postpartum experience. So let's talk a little bit about what happens to your hormones during pregnancy and postpartum.
Well, pregnancy for, I don't know how it was for you, but for a lot of women, for the majority of women, they do well. You have sort of this rising estrogen and progesterone level, right? You feel happy until you get to the end, of course. You feel pretty happy, pretty stable most of the time, unless you have a complicated pregnancy or you have a lot of vomiting or nausea in the beginning. But what I've noticed, kind of as maybe an overgeneralization, is that most women feel okay during pregnancy. You know, there's some that just love it. I wasn't one of those, but there's some that just love it. They love being pregnant, all that other stuff. But mentally and physically, they feel okay. Then you deliver that baby. And then you go home. And what happens there is you've gone from this escalating, you know, progesterone and estrogen to now a massive deep drop. It's like jumping off a cliff. And, you know, you have major hormone decline, right? As you're waiting for your breastfeeding hormones to kick in and some of these other hormones, your oxytocin kicks in, which is the bonding hormone. So some of these other positive hormones do kick in, but there's a lag. And that lag is very significant. And one of the things I've seen with postpartum depression in particular is that women who are not prepared for different reasons, it could be, you know, emotional, nutritional, it could be gut-based, it could be trauma-based, whatever the reason is. Women who are not prepared for that deep dive drop in their hormone levels over the postpartum period are very vulnerable to postpartum depression and even to postpartum suicidal ideation, all these other things. You know, I'm kind of embarrassed to say, and I mean, I shouldn't be embarrassed because I didn't know as much then. And just like you, by my second pregnancy, it was completely a different human being, even though they were only 15 months apart. But I learned so much between the two, you know? So, but that first one, you know, if you talk to my husband, and I don't remember because I think I was depressed, he claims that I didn't come downstairs for 3 or 4 weeks. I was so dark and depressed and down and all this other stuff because I hadn't fully healed from all the other stuff I'd been through already. And so I was in a depleted state having a child, you know, which is not ideal. A Chinese medicine physician would not have allowed me to get pregnant. They would have said, absolutely not. You're not ready. And these are the words I've used to some of my patients before. But in the second one, I still experienced the same surging progesterone and estrogen and the same drop off, right? But this time I had a healthy gut. I had my nutrients optimized. I was eating very much in an Eastern way where they really stress the importance of gut building foods and a lot of healthy fats and a lot of protein. I was willing to take help, right? I allowed family members to come in and take over and do all those other things. You know, in Eastern cultures, the woman actually goes to her mom's house to have the child. You don't depend on this one guy to help you with this baby, right? You have like a team of women waiting to help you, and then they return you back to the guy. That's kind of how some of the cultures work, you know? Right. So anyhow, so I did great. I was actually open the practice like 4 weeks later. Like I was fine. So again, I think this postpartum period, and this is what I tell young women coming through, is we have got to think of a tank that you have to overfill to go into war, right? You're not going to go into war or into battle with half your provisions. You're going to go with a backup plan for a backup plan for a backup plan. That's how we have to treat your body. So you need to be overly nutrient supplemented. Your gut needs to be very healthy and working well so that we know you're absorbing all your nutrients well. We need to have a plan for your self-care and how you're going to recover from this drop, right? And then we need to make sure you're surrounded with enough support so that you can get through those transitional 6 to 8 weeks without too much difficulty. So I think those are some of the things that we need to educate women about as they go into pregnancy and then have a postpartum plan, because postpartum depletion is real, but it's actually a symptom of prenatal depletion that if we had dug into our health at that stage, then we would have sailed through this entire transition a little bit easier than we would otherwise. And I personally experienced that. I've watched patients experience that. And, you know, I really do think if we can get that message out to young women, I think it'll make all the world of difference in terms of how they can really enjoy being a mom and enjoying that new young family, which is actually one of the most exciting times of family life, I think.
Of course, for sure. It's exciting and overwhelming for first-time parents, or even, you know, when you, every time you add a child into the mix, there's a learning
dynamic.
Curve. Yeah, it's a total yeah. shift. You were talking about basically during pregnancy, ideally before you're filling your body and having this reserve for
right.
your postpartum experience. Are there certain things to be mindful of for women who are pregnant or about to enter postpartum or are in postpartum that can impact your hormones during that time in a negative way?
Definitely. I mean, I think first of all, and I do this in practice, your thyroid should be checked the whole way through. You should be checking it at multiple points, because I've seen those thyroid numbers flip-flop on women. And that's a part of why they have postpartum depression, is that thyroid takes a major hit as the rest of the hormones drop off. So I think that's one thing, understanding where your thyroid is. I think the second is there's some key nutrients that keep coming up over and over again with women, and they're linked to postpartum depression. The first are your B vitamins, the whole family of B vitamins, and making sure you're optimizing those to your best ability. Of course, we like food first, but to be honest, this is sort of a high stress state. This is where I would supplement. I think women need, you know, methylated B12, methylated B6, folate, all of those things to get through their pregnancy and into their postpartum period in a healthy way. I think, again, looking at things like your fats, like your omega-3 fats, I think that's another one that's really important to have on board in optimal quantities. And all this can be checked, by the way. Vitamin D is a big one too. I think really overfilling, optimizing that vitamin D level is so important for preventing postpartum depression. I think magnesium is another one that I like to look at. So again, there are just some key nutrients, first off, that I think that are important to optimize and maximize. I think then there's some hormones that you need to understand that they're not going to go high and low like your estrogen and progesterone, but they're going to be impacted by that shifting levels of those two primary hormones. So knowing where some of those other hormones are, I think, is helpful, because then you can have a game plan for that as well. I think your gut is something to look at critically. And so this is a time where if you haven't had a history of a healthy gut, then that's critical in terms of like, what can we do? What probiotics do you need? Do you need something like digestive enzymes? How can we help your gut function a little bit better? And then I think too, and this is hard to do in the postpartum period, but definitely something you could do as you're planning out your pregnancy and kind of planning the journey for yourself, is cleaning up your toxic load. I mean, I think the more we have, if we're all getting exposed, you know, we have tons of toxins in our environment and food and makeup and everything else. But I think kind of being a little bit deliberate about, even before, and this is a part of preconception planning, even before you go to get pregnant, you know, like cleaning things up a little bit, understanding where your liver is, trying to minimize the load of toxins on your liver by picking cleaner products, products that don't have as many additives and fillers and those type of things in them. I think those are all super important in trying to get through this whole period in a way that is energetic and happy rather than being very depleting.
I mean, we talk so much about this as women, especially because it feels like there are so many options of things to go through to clean out.
Yeah.
Toxins that we're kind of mindlessly putting on our body or in our body, whether it's makeup or skincare or hair care or all the different things
right.
that
right.
we as women use. And then especially as parents, and when I had my first daughter, just being educated about other toxins that we didn't even think about or weren't even aware of when growing up, like even in medicine, like it's,
yeah.
they're having unnecessary fillers or dyes in medicine. My sister is hyper conscious of that, especially for my girls, because she's like, these are my nieces and I need to be very aware of like everything. So it's one of the reasons, like for me, that I loved also being connected to you through our passion for Genexa, because it's,
yes,
it's so important just to be able to know and be aware of the fact that there is products like medicine that's clean medicine that still has all of the parts in it that really work and that give you relief when you need it, but don't have the unnecessary fillers that really do impact you and your hormones at whatever phase of life you're in. And making those simple changes for you and for your family is so important and so simple.
Definitely. I mean, I was so proud to be a part of Genexa and a part of their mission. It just made so much sense to me because I've spent so much time and energy talking to people about understanding something called their toxic load, right? Because we get, again, like we were just saying, we're getting toxins in from all over the place and people get really overwhelmed. They're like, I don't know where to start on this conversation. This is super overwhelming. Like, do I just live in a bubble? That's not what we're saying. But I think it's the day-to-day, minute-to-minute choices, right, that we can make where we bring that toxic load down. And I think that's so important for our children. It's important for pregnancy and fertility as well. You know, it's important in the postpartum period. It just has so many, you know, long-term ramifications. And what one of the places we talk about food a lot and eating clean organic food, we talk about body care and really minimizing the ingredients that you're putting in makeup or in your body care product. And every single one of those things doesn't have to be perfect, right? We're not trying to overwhelm people. But if the majority of what you're doing is cleaner, then that's better. That really applies to medications as well. I mean, if you think about it, and you know, when I was giving my children Tylenol and Motrin, I'd have the blue dye and the red dye. And I remember looking at it, we didn't have an option like Genexa back then. Like, why is this crap in my Tylenol and Motrin for my little kids that have very little body weight? So one of the things I love about companies that are choosing to remove as much as they can is that it does make a difference. It makes a difference for our toxic load. It really impacts, you know, sort of this idea of minimizing that load and choosing things that are cleaner. So I know Genexa has been working hard. They've got so many great OTC medications that are free of dyes and fillers, all of which indirectly are showing to have a role in different metabolic processes and different hormone processes too. So, you know, I've been a fan for Genexa since I first learned about it, and I'm proud to be kind of partnered and associated with them. And it's definitely products that we recommend in practice and to our patients as well. But again, another way we can minimize additives, fillers, dyes, all these things that at the end of the day are unnecessary. All we need are the active ingredients, and that's actually what Genexa keeps in a lot of their medications.
It's why I was why I jumped the option to like invest in it, because yeah, it was, to me as a parent, my brother actually introduced it to me when I first became a mom, and I was just like, this is, I shared it to all my friends. I was like, so it's great to hear that you use that and advocate for it in your practice, especially because I feel like a lot of the pediatricians that I know are like, oh, I've never heard of that before. That's so
really
interesting. And I'm like, that's we gotta get everybody on this movement, yes, and on the same page, because there are so many better options with, yeah, you know, what we choose for ourselves.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you so much to Dr. Taz for joining us today. We tackled hormones, which is such a big subject. We're probably going to have to come back for more because there are so many people who want to know so many more things about hormones at all different phases of life. We tackled hormones before fertility, when trying to get pregnant, pregnancy hormones, postpartum hormones, and menopausal hormones. So we covered a lot. We're going to probably have to do another one, and I'm really excited for that. So thank you to Dr. Taz.
Step
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp. This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.